The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Now, you've probably seen the letters WWJD. How many of you have seen that? Yeah. How many of you had one of the bracelets? Okay, probably half of you. This came out back in the 90s, believe it or not. It's been that long. And it's estimated, and they don't know for sure, but they're estimating that they have sold over 56 million of these bracelets, WWJD. Now, the whole point behind it was asking the question, what would Jesus do? And it's like trying to figure out, okay, what would Jesus do in this situation? So I'm going to do the same thing. The whole concept really became popular, actually, believe it or not, back in 1896. Like, that's a long time ago, okay? For those of you that don't realize, 1890, like over 100 years ago, Charles Sheldon wrote this book that, and based on this idea, what would Jesus do? And there was this story about what people would do and how the world would change if people would just do what Jesus did. Now, unfortunately, Charles Sheldon did not really believe the gospel the way the Bible teaches it. He believed that Jesus was a good example for us and we just need to follow him and do what he did and make the world a better place. Now, in spite of what Charles did, and I'm not, you know, if some of you are saying, oh no, I'm wearing one of those today, I better hide it. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. And for some people, it really helps them think about, you know, living the way Jesus lived. But here's the problem with the question, is that it sounds good, but tomorrow is election. Who would Jesus vote for? I don't have a clue. It's like, I don't know. It's like if Jesus were shopping for a car. In fact, somebody says, WWJD says, what would Jesus drive? It's like, well, what would Jesus drive? I don't know. He rode a donkey at one point in his life. You know, it's like, I don't have a clue. You know, if Jesus was going to the grocery store, what groceries would he buy organic? It's like, I don't know. So that's the problem with the question. If you're just thinking that all I have to do is ask the question, think about what Jesus would do and do it, then I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do. I mean, you think about the disciples. The disciples were living with Jesus like day in and day out for 3 years. They didn't have a clue what Jesus was going to do next. I mean, they go to the temple to worship, and what does Jesus do? He starts a riot. It's like, were they expecting that? No. You know, Jesus gets a message that his friend is sick and he's dying, and one of his closest friends. And what does he do? He says, okay. And he carries on with doesn't even go and see him. He waits till he dies. Like, I don't have a clue what Jesus would do half the time. So asking that question may be a way of helping you remember and think about the fact that you are to live like Jesus. But when we talk about following Jesus, we need to go beyond that. And today we're going to be taking another step in this whole process. As you know, if you're new to Summerside, we have clarified our mission statement. And we're saying that God is calling us to become everyday disciples who are walking with Jesus and following Jesus every day, and we're making disciples every day. So we ourselves are becoming disciples and we're making disciples, because that's what Jesus told us. When he left the earth, he told the disciples, his followers, he says, I want you now to go into all the world and make disciples. And so we're talking about this whole process of making disciples. And last week, Devin challenged us to prepare, to make sure that we're thinking about it, that we are understanding what it means to share the gospel, how we can explain the gospel to people, making sure that we're thinking about that process and we're preparing our hearts. Today, I want to take the next step and sort of a follow-up to that to help us to understand that if we are going to be making disciples, we ourselves need to be disciples. That should be logical, right? But that's something sometimes we forget. Because it's easy for us to sometimes think that if we are really disciples, then it would be natural that we want to be involved in this process of making disciples. And for some of you, you're going to come to understand that making disciples is much simpler than you thought. It's not as complicated as you thought, and it's much a more natural process than you realized. We're not talking about, you know, becoming some theological guru or becoming some famous teacher and you have all these people listening to you, what you have to say. No, it's walking alongside of somebody, helping to lead them to Christ, helping to lead them into a closer walk with Christ. So today we want to think about our own discipleship. And let's clear up one thing right from the start. Just because you say you are following Jesus, it doesn't mean that you actually are. Jesus didn't say, just say you're going to follow me and I'll give you a ticket to heaven. You know, some people think, all I have to do is just pray a prayer, and I prayed a prayer once and so I got my ticket to heaven. You see, following Jesus isn't like spiritual monopoly, where all you need to do is to do the right moves to get your get out of hell free card. It's not like that. When Jesus talked to the disciples and said, come and follow me, he was talking about them believing what he was saying and believing it to the point that it changed the way they lived. What it meant is that they were going to become like Christ. Now, don't misunderstand. The Bible does make it clear that you come to a point in your life. There is a point in your life where you trust in Christ, and in doing that, your life is transformed. You go from darkness to light. You go from being an orphan to being adopted as a son, as a child of God. You go from death to life. Now, I don't know when that happened in my life. I remember praying many times. I prayed as a kid. I remember hearing my dad preach, and every time my dad talked about hell, I was scared. And so I would go home and pray that, you know, Jesus would forgive my sin and save me. Now, when did that point happen? I don't know, but it doesn't matter. The important thing is, am I following Christ? Am I doing what Jesus said to do? Come, follow me, believe me, trust me. And when we do that, that's how we know if we're truly following him, if we truly have eternal life. So how do we know if we are really in God's family? How do you know if you really have that eternal life? Well, the Bible says that God's Spirit is in us. And in Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's this sense of confirmation that I am a child of God, that I am trusting in Christ, I'm believing what he said, and I'm believing not only what he said about his death, well, Jesus' death and resurrection, but I'm believing that because of that I have life, and because of that I have a future. It's believing that. Now, the problem is that that's subjective. I mean, I don't always have this sense of just this great assurance and this great feeling, because we're talking about feelings, we're talking about subjectiveness. So how do I know in those times when I'm not feeling that way? Is there another way to know if I really am believing in Jesus? Well, John was one of Jesus' closest disciples. And when he wrote a letter to other believers, he says this. He summarizes the whole message in one verse. He says in 1 John 2:6, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Some of you are saying, isn't that WWJD? Well, the difference here is John is not saying you need to go through life, just think about what Jesus did and do it. He says, no. What he's saying is, if your life has been changed, the natural outflow, the natural habits, the natural indication of your life is that you will be living the life of Jesus in every day. That's what we're thinking about today. And I want to challenge you to recognize that if God has called us to be disciple makers, he has called us, first of all, to be disciples, to be people who follow Christ. Now, John knew this from experience, because he remembered that day when he and his father and his father Zebedee and his brother James were fishing, taking care of their nets. And this rabbi came along and he says, come, follow me. And when Jesus said, come, follow me, he wasn't saying, come, follow me, like we might follow some kind of ambulance or some kind of fire truck. Have you ever done that? Okay, I won't ask you because I know some of you won't admit it. But you know that time you see an ambulance or a fire truck and you think, I wonder where they're going. I wonder what's happening. And so you follow and you get there and say, oh, there's nothing happening there, and just walk away. Some people follow Jesus like that, right? They followed for a while because they thought, oh, this is interesting. Maybe Jesus did a miracle, and they followed, but then they didn't see one for a while and say, yeah, I'm done. He's not saying follow in that sense. He's saying follow in the sense that you become like him. And in fact, there are two words that we sort of use interchangeably in the New Testament. The first one is the word follow or follower, and it shows up about 90 times in the New Testament. And when you think about the word follower, you could think about somebody who just tags along. Like a child following their parents. You know, they're just tagging along, doing their thing. And Jesus was not saying, when he said to John, he says, come and follow me, he said, just tag along and we'll see what happens. No, he was implying to them, come, follow me means watch me, live like I'm living, learn from me, become like me. And that's where we get the second word, the word disciple. So the word follower shows up where Jesus, often we use that word shows up, but also the word disciple. And the word disciple carries with it the idea of a learner, somebody who learns from somebody else. A great word that I think helps to capture it in our day is the word apprentice. Many of you have been through some kind of an apprenticeship. And an apprentice is somebody who follows somebody else. They watch somebody else who is doing something that they're trying to learn to do. And as they watch them, they also practice with them. Now, you know, here's the difference when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus. A disciple of Jesus is not just sitting there following in the sense of watching what he's doing just so that they can do what he's doing. No, this is much deeper than this. Because being a disciple of Jesus means not only that you are learning to do what he does, you're learning to become what he is. Become like him. To live in him. To be intimately connected with him. That's why it's not about religion. If you think that going to church is what Jesus is asking you to do, you're missing the point. It's far more than that. When he told the disciples to come follow me, he was telling them that following me, you need to follow me because I am more valuable than anything you understand. I'm more valuable than your nets, than your fishing, than your career. I'm more valuable than anything you own. In fact, I'm more valuable than your family, and I'm going to ask you to leave your family to follow me. Now, that he's not telling everybody to do that, but the disciples, he was telling them, you need to leave your family and come follow me because following me is far more important than anything else. And in fact, he says, following me is more important than your life. And the disciples, as far as we know, every one of them died because they were following Christ. He's saying that you need to come and follow me and understand that that is more valuable than anything else in the world. So when we talk about following Jesus, it's more than just doing. It's being. It's being like Christ, not just doing what Christ did. Now, from these two words, we can summarize what it means to be a disciple. And I'm giving you a statement this morning that I hope you think about and remember and chew on a bit. And that is that a disciple of Jesus is with him to learn from him how to be like him. A disciple of Jesus is with him to learn from him how to be like them. Now, let's break that down one phrase at a time and see how this shows up in the New Testament. So first of all, the disciple of Jesus is with him. Listen to what Mark says when Jesus chooses his first disciples. In Mark 3:14, it says, he appointed 12, designating them apostles. Now, the word apostle is a representative. So these 12 who were initially disciples were going to become his apostles. They were going to be sent out as his representatives, and they were going to be the foundation of the beginning of the church. And they're the ones that represented him in those future days. So he says he designated them apostles that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Why did he want them with him? Was he lonely? No. Did he need some bodyguards? Obviously not. I mean, he could walk through a crowd and have them not touch him. If he was going to send them out as representatives, he wanted them to know him. He wanted them to be with him so that they could experience his life. Now, Jesus left, right? So how do we say we're as disciples, we're supposed to be with him? Well, work with me here a bit, because this is it's an important concept for you to understand. Before Jesus left in John 14:16, he told the disciples, "I will ask the Father, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." Okay, so he's saying, I'm going to leave, the Spirit is going to come in a new way and start a new ministry with you, he's going to be doing a work in you. Now, how is being with the Spirit the same as being with Christ? Well, listen to what Paul says in Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 9, Paul says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Now, the important thing I want you to notice in this verse, that Paul is talking about living by the Spirit and following the Spirit. But notice how he talks about the Spirit. He calls him the Spirit of God in one verse, in one phrase, and then the Spirit of Christ in another. He's not talking about two different spirits. He's talking about the same Holy Spirit. But he can call him the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because the Bible makes it very clear that there is one God, and yet there are three distinct persons in the Godhead: the Spirit, the Father, and the Son. And all three are one. And that's why Paul uses these interchangeably. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of Christ. We're talking about the same. They're one. And if you have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you have Christ living in you. And there's a sense in which you have the Father living in you, because you have the Trinity. You can't separate them into different parts and say, well, one is here and one's there. No, they're one. They're united. So here we have this sense of that we are with Christ if we have been transformed by him. The Spirit lives in us. It's the Spirit, his Spirit, that gives us new life. We're regenerated by the Spirit. And Christ, in a very real sense, lives in us, not because there's some little hole somewhere where he is there, because he's Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit being, not physical. It's not some physical thing. But he is with me. He is in me. And I need to understand that. But the issue is, as I go through my day, is that I can just ignore that. And so when we talk about being with Christ, how are we supposed to spend time with him? Well, if I said to you, hey, let's get together for coffee next Thursday morning. We'll meet at the Starbucks and we'll sit down and have coffee. So you arrange a time, 10 o'clock, we show up, we sit down, get our coffee and sit down and smile. Never say anything. And 30 minutes later, we throw our cups out and walk away. Is that what's going to happen? No, you'd say, what's wrong with this guy? It's like, how come he's not saying anything? It's like, what's the problem? Because you assume that if you're going to be with someone, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be communicating. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, my wife and I, we could go for coffee and never say anything and just enjoy being together. Okay, that's a different thing, because hopefully you talk enough at other times and you have a relationship. And, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting to know somebody. You're not going to get to know somebody if you never say anything to them, if you never hear what they say, right? It assumes communication. So how are we supposed to be with Christ? Well, we need to hear what he says. And how do we do that? Through his word. He has given us his word. He has spoken. The Spirit has inspired the word of God, the very words of God. And Christ has said, this is the truth that I'm giving to you. You need to hear it. You need to listen to it. You need to live by it. And we know that Jesus himself had to read the Bible. He had to study the Bible. He quoted the Bible very often. For him, it was the Old Testament because it was before the New Testament was written. He knew it. He would quote it. He would say, this is the truth that you need to understand, because he knew that God was speaking through it. So the way that we spend time with Christ is in his word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That doesn't mean just the words that are in red in your Bible, if you have one of those Bibles. The Bible was not written in red, okay? It's like, just because some Bibles print the words of Jesus in red, it doesn't mean those words are more important than others. In fact, that's one of the problems with having it. I mean, it's okay to have it, but it makes us tend to think, oh, these words are more important because they're in red. You know, it's like they're highlighted. No, all of it is the Word of God. And all of it is inspired by God's Spirit, and we need to listen to what he's saying and seek to understand it. So the important place to start in spending time with Christ is spending time in his word. And here's the logical question. If I am not spending time with Christ through his word, the Bible, am I truly following? Am I truly following if I'm not listening to him? I'm not hearing what he has to say to me. So let's get to the second point now. Why do disciples need to spend time with him? This is the second part of our definition. So disciples of Jesus are with him to learn from him. Now, the point seems obvious, but I suspect some of you have met people that call themselves Christians that have been going to church for decades, and they basically don't live any different than anybody else you know who never goes to church, right? So they may be with Christ, right? They may even read their Bible, but it hasn't changed their lives. The point of being with Christ is to learn from him. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Anybody here weary carrying heavy burdens? Yeah, most of us, right? We all have things where, man, life gets tiring. We have issues that we got to deal with, family things, work things, money things, health problems. We all have these. And Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. How do you get that rest? Let me teach you. You've got to learn from him. Let me teach you. And then he goes on, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Most of us don't have a yoke in our backyard, so let me show you a picture of a yoke. You know, for years I had a hard time figuring this out. It's like, how is this yoke? But you know, it's very simple. It's like you get placed in this confining position alongside of another, if you were an ox, okay? Okay, in the picture that Jesus is saying, you need to be yoked to me. And what happens? Your burden will be light. It's like I go through my life carrying all my burdens on myself, right? I'm trying to deal with life, and I'm stressed and I'm frustrated. And Jesus says, no, you need to be connected to me, which may at first look confining, look restrictive, look difficult. But you know what you will find? You will find that my burden is easy, that the yoke is easy, the burden is light. Why? Because Jesus is there pulling it with you. He is the one. And the world says, no, I don't want what Jesus has to say. It's too confining, too restrictive. I want freedom. And they're stuck wondering why life isn't working and why they're so miserable. And Jesus says, you know what? You want to experience true life? Get connected with me. You'll find that it's not going to be weary like you used to be. You're going to find real rest. You're going to realize that the things that you were stressed about are things you don't need to be stressed about, because I'm there with you. I'm going to take care of that. This is such a powerful, powerful concept that we need to grab hold of. But what is it that we are needing to learn? So if we are with Christ to learn from him, what is it that we're trying to learn from him? That brings us to our third point, that we're trying to, that we're seeking to become like him, how to be like him. See, don't assume that just because you can talk about following Jesus that you're actually doing it. Faith and I have started learning how to play pickleball. It's a great sport. It's not just for seniors, okay? Chris and Reed do it too. It's a great new sport. It's great because we used to play a lot more tennis, but you know, tennis is a lot more stressful on the body, and pickleball is fun. Now you may say, you could say to me, hey Mark, I love pickleball. I'm taking a course down at Fanshawe on pickleball because I want to learn how to play pickleball. I say, oh, where do you play? Oh no, we're not playing. It's a 6-week course. The guy who's teaching it is phenomenal. He's an expert in it. He's told us all about the history, how it's developed as a sport. We go through the rules. We study the rules. We take tests about the rules. And then we watch these videos that are fantastic, these pickleball championships and some of the world's best players. And it's great. I said, so when do you play? Oh, we haven't played yet, but oh, I'm learning. I'm learning how to play. You see the problem? It's like, yeah, I'm learning how to follow Jesus. I come to church. We study about what the rules, about what it means to follow Jesus. We study the history, how it all happens. We even hear about people that have done it, that do it great. And some of the people are really good at it. And we're really learning a lot about following Jesus. Jesus says, come follow me. Don't come just learn what it means to follow me. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we need to be with him so we can learn from him how to be like him. We need to be changing to become like Christ. Listen to how Jesus states it in Luke 6, verse 40. The student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. He's telling his disciples, the student who is fully trained, he says, I'm expecting you to become like me. I mean, he's not just asking the question, what would Jesus do? No, becoming like me in the sense that you will know what to do because you will become like me and you will just think about the right thing to do. Colossians 1, 28 and 29, this is a verse that Devin and I have quoted many times. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And Paul says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works within me. He's saying, I give my life to help the people that I'm working with become perfect in Christ. And that word perfect is a word, the Greek word, that implies mature, complete. Not perfect like in they never make a mistake, but the mature and complete. Become like Christ in every way. He says, this is my effort. This is what I give myself to. And he's implying this is what disciples of Christ need to do to become like Jesus Christ. And another time he says in Galatians 4:19, I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now, I've never given birth to any children. Shouldn't have to say that these days, but maybe have to, any mother here that has given birth, they'll testify. It's ridiculously painful. Paul says, it's like I am in great agony until what happens? Until Christ is formed in you. Until you become like Christ. He says, my goal is to help you to become like Christ. Because what is it that he understood that Jesus is asking us to do when he says, come follow me? He's asking us to be his disciples. And to be his disciple means that you become like Christ in every way. Now, none of us can ever live like Jesus did in the sense that he never got married, never had kids, never really didn't work in the last years. He knew he was going to die young. Like, he had a really unique life. It's not like you need to grow a beard, put on a robe, and walk around Jerusalem and in Israel. He's not asking you. That's not what it means to be like Christ. Becoming like Christ means allowing the life that he has given you through his Spirit to transform your head, your heart, in your hands. This is the way we've described it, to help us to put it, to nail it down, to say, you know what, becoming like Christ means that your head is going to be different in the sense that you're going to think differently. You're going to think about the truth that Jesus, understand who Jesus is, understand who God is, because the truth will set you free. And the more you know the truth, the more you experience the freedom. So growing in knowledge, growing intellectually, by submitting and also by submitting to Him as truth. It means changing your heart, your character, learning to love like Jesus loved. That's what it means to be a disciple, to be like Christ. It means your hands serving others, not living for myself, but living for others and serving like Christ served other people. Demonstrating this radical generosity where Jesus gave of Himself. And Paul tells us to be generous, not only with our money, but with our time, with our energy, with everything we have, with our friends, with our people that aren't our friends, with our enemies, being generous in love, extending grace and mercy and forgiveness. So becoming like Jesus doesn't mean that I will know what to do in every situation. I don't need to know. That's the beauty of it. Becoming like Jesus means seeking to develop His character, allowing His life to work through me, developing the fruit of the Spirit, because the Spirit is going to change me, help me to change. You're not on your own. Go to the Word. The Spirit who inspired the Word is going to help you to understand the Word and apply it to your life so that you go through your day just naturally seeking to, you know what, I want to love people today. I want to demonstrate the character of Christ to others. I want people to know who Jesus was. And it becomes a natural outflow of the life that you have in you. That's why being a disciple is so critical if you're going to be a disciple maker. And one of the things that we want to do as a church is to help each of you grow to become more like Christ. Because as you do, the natural outflow is that you're going to care for others around you. And you're going to want them to follow Christ. That's why this is so critical for being disciples. The more I'm with Christ, the more I'm learning who He is, the more I'm learning to become like Him, the more I can help others do the same. And don't make the mistake of thinking, you know, I got some things in my life I have to get together. I have to get my act together first before I can do this. No, Jesus says, come as you are. He didn't say to the disciples, you know, when they were fishermen, He says, okay, you... Okay, go clean up your act first. Oh, you got to go deal with that first. No, He says, you come follow me. I'll take care of the mess that you're dealing with. And we know that each one of the disciples, they were messy. They were worse than most of us, right? And I'm not naming any names there. It's like their lives were a mess. I mean, it took 3 years. It was 3 years that we saw these things. I mean, Peter, who was ended up being the leader in the church, was probably the worst of the bunch. Making all kinds of mistakes. But Jesus didn't say, oh, you made too many mistakes. He said, no, you just keep following me. Yeah, you messed up. That's okay. Keep coming. Keep following. Keep changing. Keep becoming more like Christ. So the challenge for each one of us is, are you following Christ? Are you seeking to be a disciple of Christ? Are you spending time with Him? Learning from Him how to be like Him? Let's pray. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up, and as they're coming, I want to encourage each of us to think about our own hearts. What do you need to do to spend time with Christ, to learn from Him, to become like Him? What is the next step He's asking you to do? And I want you in your heart to say, God, this week, help me to take this next step. Help me to do the next thing I need to do. To follow you so that I can learn from you how to be like you. Let's pray. Father, help us to recognize that in spite of the things that we see in our lives that get us discouraged and get us down, in spite of the ways in which we have failed, you look beyond that and you see what Christ has done for us. And you know that through the Spirit working in us, the life of Christ can grow in us and be transformed in us. And I pray that you would help each of us to encourage one another to become the disciples that you're calling us to be. And as we become the people you want us to be, we in turn will reach out to others and influence them. But it's got to start in our own hearts, Father. So help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.